So, Railroad Commission, what would you really call it if it were, we were being honest about it? In the last three sessions of the legislature, they've tried to get a constitutional amendment to change it because this is in the Constitution. Texas Energy Commission. Then the State Board of Education. If we had the time, and I thought you had the interest, I could take you through 30 plus years of the State Board of Education. Actually, almost 40 years now. Mark White had it abolished. And then the man that defeated him campaigned on the campaign platform that I'll reestablish the State Board of Education. In latter years, that was the one thing that Bill Clements really regretted about having done, because it proved to be a problem. How much power does the State Board of Education really have? It's window dressing. The legislature has taken away almost all of the power of the State Board of Education, but since it's in the Constitution, the powers aren't in the Constitution, just its existence is in the Constitution. So it's okay, it doesn't cost us anything, we don't pay them anything. And the next session of the legislature is probably going to take away one of the final remaining powers of the State Board of Education, and that is to approve textbooks, because they've gotten in a heap of hurt over that. So the governor gets to appoint the commission, Secretary of State and the Adjutant General. These were in the Constitution. We'll look at what the Secretary of State does in a minute, right? Adjutant General. How much real control does the governor have over the Adjutant General? About as thin as a sheet of paper. Does he get to pick anybody he wants to for it? No. The Department of the Army says, here are the people who are eligible to be appointed to the job, and we will not finance the National Guard if you don't pick one of these. And since the federal government pays about 90% of the National Guard, that's a pretty big deal. Adjutant General. Now, beginning in the 90s, and a little history here, we had a Texas Board of Commission, a Texas Board of Insurance, and the Board of Insurance basically was run by the insurance companies, and there was a fair degree of unhappiness with the fact that when they made the rule, have you ever played Heads I Win, Tails You Lose? You understand that game? Ain't no way you're going to win. The feeling was, Ann Richards campaigned on this, State Board of Education was going out, I mean State Board of Insurance went out of its way to shaft the consumer in almost every possible way. And so she said, give me the authority to appoint the Commissioner of Insurance and I'll make sure we appoint a competent, fair person to make these decisions and do away with this board that's largely controlled by the insurance industry. So has any of the governors after Ann Richards said, oh no, let's go back to the old system? Okay, can I ask you a question?
Yes.
You think any governor is going to willingly give up a little bit of power?
No.
And that's a little bit of power, right?
Yeah.
Now technically, the governor doesn't really appoint the Commissioner of Education. He simply approves the decision recommended to him by the State Board of Education. But George Bush said, the only person I'm going to accept a recommendation from was, and he named a person, and said, you'll do without a Commissioner of Education until you name her. And since that time, the governor has basically chosen the Commissioner of Education, and the State Board of Education figures out that's the way it is. Now, we went through a really major, we had 13 state agencies that dealt with some aspect of health and human services. You think there was a lot of coordination and cooperation? No. So the legislature merged all of those agencies together and gave the governor the responsibility to appoint a commissioner of health and human services. Had kind of a similar problem with housing and community affairs. And so those were merged into one agency, and the governor was given the authority. Now, I'm going to say something that might alienate, irritate, or just plain piss off some people, but, you know, life's like that. The legislature was on a roll with that, and I think they would have combined a number of other agencies, except for Rick Perry. Did I tell you that Rick didn't always necessarily endear himself to members of the legislature? And so the movement to consolidate, coordinate, and give the governor additional responsibility sort of died at the end of Perry's first administration. Don't be surprised to see it reevaluate, reemerge at some point in the future. Texas is going to move toward a more integrated system of administration at some point down the line, because the present system provides relatively little coordination and doesn't lead to a great deal of efficiency. All right, governor, three qualifications, got to be 30 years of age, resident for 5 years, U.S. citizen. We compensate them. Actually, the figure is now $150,000 a year. It was $115,000. Don't have to spend a lot of time on this, do we? We've already hit it. Governor has very weak powers compared with other states. If you put him on a scale and weight him, comes out either tied for 49th, or the best, the absolutely best one says, oh, he's about 37th. Nobody puts him in the top dog. Nobody would probably try to. What the governor does have fairly substantial legislative powers, but why doesn't that move him up in the ratings? Because just about every governor of every state has the same powers. If every governor of every state has about the same powers, that doesn't give you any relative change, does it? What are the most powerful functions of the, legislative powers of the governor? Calling special sessions and the item veto, probably the two biggies. And the clemency power is just virtually not there. I'm going to repeat something, and if I put it on a test, I expect everybody in here to get it right. Fair enough? The governor has no parole power. End of sentence. He couldn't parole his mother if he wanted to. Now, that happened in the 1980s. Was that caused by the legislature being honked off at the governor and deciding to jerk his parole power away from him? No. Who recommended it? The governor. And what you'll see if you do comparative state government, look at other states, is that governors are running away from the parole power like it was a bad dog with an attitude. Why? Ms. Fronchek? Is it a no-win proposition for most governors? You poll 50 people and 49 of them turn out to be good people and do their thing, and one of them turns out to be a murderer, rapist, etc. What does the public pay attention to? The one bad apple, right? So, if you're going to have to make 2,000 or 3,000 parole decisions a year, are you going to have the time to examine closely every one of those people and determine whether or not they really should receive a parole? No. You're depending on your staff. That can be real nerve-wracking, right? So what if we just give it to a board to do it? And if the mistake, then they get the blame, but not you. Everybody understands that? That's a pretty good political smooth move. Now, with regard to other clemency powers, that is to say pardons, reprieves, or commutations of sentences, the Texas governor is more restricted than almost any other governor in the country. He gets one 30-day stay of execution. That's it. How much removal power does a governor have? Can he do a Donald Trump and paw people in and go, "You're fired"? Other than his own personal staff, the answer is no. He can say, "I'll fire you if 2/3 of the Senate's willing to go along with me." That's been on the Constitution for 30 years. How many people do you think have been removed as board members or executive officers under that provision?
None.
Now, does the governor have other means? What do you think they are? Do you appoint no bodies to these boards and commissions? Their reputation means something to them. So if the governor's staff says, we would like your resignation, and you can claim it's family business, or you want to spend more time with your family, or you're just tired and nobody will pay any attention, or we can release all of these documents when we ask for your removal, which would you prefer? See you around, right? Governor can recommend a budget. Ms. Blackwell, how seriously does the legislature generally take the governor's budget recommendations?
Not at all.
Well, I can't say not at all.
You're right, Perry did put one through, and it was
but
for the most part, they like their own.
Probably about as carefully as you would take your grandmother's recommendations on how you dress.
Yeah, probably.
I'll take your, thank you, I appreciate that very much. But I'll do what I damn well please.
Yeah.
The Legislative Budget Board in Texas is the most powerful budget agency of any budget agency in any state. And that's a pretty hard decision, a pretty hard thing to say. And I've evaluated it and looked at it pretty hard. And there are no other states that have legislative budget agencies that function the same way and have the same powers as the LBB in Texas. Governor's directive powers are very limited. The legislature does give him some, particularly in emergency situations. His appointments require 2/3 Senate approval. And then, of course, there are emergency exceptional circumstances like martial law and police power. Now, let's hit these fast. Attorney General, civil only. What's probably the most significant power of the Attorney General other than to represent the state of Texas in civil suits? And you know it's really not the Attorney General that does that, it's the staff. Issuing opinions. And who really writes the opinions? The staff. We are about to prove that Texas really doesn't really need a functioning Attorney General. Paxton has been so tied up trying to avoid being sent to jail for some of his dealings before he was elected Attorney General that he has been kind of a non-presence in Austin other than on filing suits for primarily publicity purposes or other actions of that nature. But as far as a major presence as an Attorney General, the general consensus is he hadn't been one. And nobody's complaining. Now, Hager basically surprised everybody, ended up being a fairly decent comptroller of public accounts. Now, who do you think makes those budget estimates? Would you suspect maybe it's some of those 30 or 40 economists who work for the Texas Comptroller of Public Accounts and the computer programs they use to mimic the Texas economy? They're relatively accurate. You think the comptroller sits there every day approving every single purchase order sent in by various state agencies?
No.
Nah. Land office. Who is the commissioner? I'm not going to ask you this on a test. Who is the commissioner of land, commissioner of the general land office? Anybody know? I'll give you a hint. His name is a four-letter word.
Bush.
Wait a minute. Is that George W.'s son? No, it's his brother's son. Wait a minute, I thought they were Floridans. No, he moved to Texas. They administer the Veterans Land Fund and control state-owned lands. Commissioner of Agriculture, weights and measures are the big deal. That is 70-80% of the real work of the agency. But who wants to run for commissioner of weights and measures, you know? We've talked about these. Do we need to go over them again? Nah. Typical agency, multi-member board, membership 3, 6, 9, 12, 18, 21, 6-year overlapping terms. How much do you get paid? Nothing. They reimburse your expenses. The board appoints a chief executive officer who has, what are those magic three initials? They have the responsibility for supervising PPB, personnel policy budget. And the chief executive officer carries them out. Fair enough? All right, oversight. Now, you're about to hear me say something that's probably going to come as a total shock. Texas probably has one of the best developed agency oversight rules and regulations of any state in the union. It evolved back in the 1970s when Dr. Janice May recommended the creation of a Sunset Commission and the legislature went along. We'll talk about them in detail. The governor's office has some responsibility. The comptroller's office has some responsibility. There's a council on competitive government that nobody pays any attention to, and I'm not even going to ask you to pay any attention to it either. The legislature has a pretty significant role through its oversight in standing committees, but particularly through the Legislative Budget Board and the Legislative Audit Committee. Hey, did anybody see the news yesterday that the state auditor of Texas is going to retire? He's been in the job for 12 years. A little bitty sub-piece, probably you didn't see that. So what does the audit office do? What is unique about the relationship between the Legislative Budget Board and the Legislative Audit Committee in Texas?
They work together.
Well, the six members who are on the Legislative Audit Committee are also on the Legislative Budget Board. In most states, the reports of the Audit Committee get stuck on a shelf somewhere unless they uncover major, major problems, and nobody pays much attention to them. There's no closed loop. But in Texas, 6 of the 10 people who write the next year's budget are on the audit committee that receive the reports. I think I used the comment in class, I know I did, that if you want to see an agency director go out and buy a case of Depends, he just gets a negative rating from the audit. What happens to an agency that receives a scathing audit report? Well, first thing, the board fires the executive director. They all crawl in on their hands and knees begging forgiveness and asking how things can be corrected. If things are not corrected, Sunset Commission takes a serious look at whether the agency should be, what can the Sunset Commission recommend?
Yes.
Abolishment, combination, or complete reorganization? Now, on several of the studies I've seen that evaluate the performance of the Sunset Commission, I've seen, in fact, one of the people who wrote an article said the Sunset Commission has been relatively unimportant because in the X number of years that it's been involved, it's only abolished about 6 agencies, one of which was the Pink Bowweevil Commission. Is that the whole story? How many agencies got religion or got reorganized or had significant changes in operating procedure as a result of Sunset Commission studies? It's about 35. which is a pretty good chunk of the overall. About one-third of the agencies in Texas have undergone some level of modification, reorganization, change in procedure, blah, 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 as a result of Sunset Commission, which is partly from Audit Committee, Budget Board. So it's closed loop. Everybody comfortable with that? Yeah? Okay, well, I've already talked about that. I don't need to do it again. All right, let's change gears. When we look at the bureaucracy, what are the four areas that employ 89% of the people? Education, social services, business and transportation, and that's largely the highway department, public safety and corrections. How many of you can add that up? Grab out your phones or whip calculators and add it up. That comes up to about 90% of the total employees of the state, doesn't it? And what group is left out of that?
Government.
I'm not in that group. Why? I don't work for the state of Texas directly. I work for the Galveston College Community College District. GISD employees work for GISD. All right? Now, a big chunk of that money has to come from the state, but that's not, these are just state employees. Universities, colleges and universities, senior colleges and universities. My wife is in that list. Why? She's a professor at UTMB. Senior colleges and universities, they're included. Fair enough? When she went to work for the state, I told her, I'm sorry, honey, you're leaving, going into the ranks of the state employees. Now, we don't have, Texas is unique. It's the only major urban state that does not have a state personnel system. That is to say, a comprehensive state personnel system. There's advantages and disadvantages, and we could get off on a long tangent here. Maybe 20 years ago, I was the program director for Texas Community College Teachers Government Section, and I had some people in debating whether the state of Texas should have a statewide personnel system. I think I took more out of that particular section meeting than most of the other government teachers who were there, but I organized it. We have two retirement systems, ERS, TRS, Employees Retirement, Teacher Retirement. Which is the biggest?
Teacher.
Why?
Because...
You're absolutely right.
Because there's more people.
There's more of them. There's three times as many teachers in the public school system of Texas. And one little other thing, what's the largest single number of area that has the largest single number of state employees? Education, right? If you are employed by an educational institution, which of these two systems do you belong to?
The
TRS. So my wife is a state employee, which under normal conditions would make her a member of ERS, but since she works for an educational institution, she's in TRS. Does the examples help you? Mm-hmm. So you're a secretary at A&M University. Which one are you in?
TRS.
Because it's an educational institution. You work as a clinician at MD Anderson in Houston.
TRS.
It's a part of the University of Texas system, isn't it? TRS. Now, the state of Texas does not contract with insurance companies to provide health insurance for its employees, but it does contract with health insurance companies to manage it. And I realize that I've got a mistake here. Last year they went to Humana, United Health Services, rather than Blue Cross Blue Shield, but I wouldn't ask you that on a test anyway. I failed to correct that. Bad dog. The contract with Humana, which runs United Health Services. All right, what's the function of a budget? Let's talk about the state budget real fast, and I'm going to turn you loose to plan the traffic. It's a planning document, it's an authorizing document, and it's an accountability document. End of sentence. We could spend an hour on that, we're not going to. What step of this budget cycle am I in right now here at Galveston College? Planning. When will the board actually authorize the budget? About next August. So somewhere between now, which is November, and next August, we've got to figure out how much of everything we need, how many people I'm going to need, what they're going to be doing. And overall, the college has got to reconcile that with the amount of money that it's likely to have, whatever it gets from the state, what it gets from taxes, what it gets from tuition and fees from students, and try to balance the books. Now, I was not totally fair with you on that. I'm really in two stages right now, am I not? Planning and spending. A part of my job as director of the Division of Arts and Humanities is to control the way we spend the money that we've been authorized to spend. And so every time somebody's got a budget request that's more than a certain number of dollars, I got to look at it and decide if it fits and then sign off on it. And if I don't sign off on it, it don't get spent. Now, Galveston College is audited by private auditors, by an independent auditor. State agencies, on the other hand, are audited by the Texas Department, the state auditor of the state of Texas office, which is hired by the way, auditors are never hired by the executive branch. The executive branch doesn't get the opportunity to audit itself. The legislature audits the executive branch. And so who is the state auditor responsible to? Legislative Audit Committee, which is made up of the lieutenant governor, the speaker, two senators, and two representatives. And those two representatives happen to be chairman of the House Ways and Means and chairman of the House Appropriations Committee, who are the same people who are going to be writing the budget. Tom Keel is the guy's name, who's the state auditor. He's done an absolutely fantastic job, but as you might imagine, there comes a time when it's a good idea to retire. So I made that comment in class one time, and somebody looked at me and said, "Well, when are you going to retire?" That's a good question, Tonto. I don't have the same kind of 24/7 type problems that perhaps the state auditor does. We've already done this, haven't we? Do I need to repeat it again? No. One of the advantages. What do we spend it on? Education, social services, transportation. Hey, that looks familiar, doesn't it? It should, if that's where most of your people are, and 80% of your cost of any agency, depending on the agency, is personnel. Then where you got the most people probably is going to be the place you spend the most money, right? Now, I did not talk about this in great detail, and I just want to hit it real fast for you. When the legislature meets next January, it will discover that probably 80% of the money is already dedicated. It's already spoken for. The taxes, and we just approved a constitutional amendment, number 7, proposition number 7, right? Which is going to take money from one fund and put it into the highway fund. So the money that was there that could have been used for education is not going to be there. Proposition 1. Raise the homestead exemption, and provided that the legislature will make up the difference between what the school districts will lose from the homestead exemption to make them well. Does that tie the hands of the legislature in the next session in terms of what they can do with the money? Now, to put this in perspective, how many of you work? Most of you. So when you get that paycheck, is that money you can spend on anything you want to?
No, it's already gone for a day.
Are you pretty well committed to rent, car payment, gasoline, blah, blah, blah? So when you get through with all those things that you have to spend it on, how much money do you have left? And sometimes it's a negative balance, right? You can sympathize with members of the legislature, because anywhere from 80 to 90% of the money is already spoken for. I'm going to tell a quick story, and I'll shut up on that. When I was a graduate student working on my master's degree, I was working part-time. Fortunately, I didn't have major expenses, but I had gotten married, so that was a little bit of an expense, and she wasn't working. So when I balanced the budget, I had $5 of unallocated money a week. That's, of course, $5 then was more than $5 now. I had $5 that we had for mad money. And we really wanted to splurge. We'd go to the UT student union and bowl a couple of games of bowling. It cost us 10 cents a line at that time at the student union to bowl. Or go to the free movie and buy some popcorn. You could buy a big bag of popcorn for 25 cents. Like I said, it was a different time. If we really wanted to splurge, we'd go by the bakery, and I had a friend that worked there, and he would give me a free loaf of hot bread, squished a little bit, which is why they were throwing it away. They'd feed it to the hogs if they didn't give it out to the homeless students, homeless people or the students, and buy a stick of butter. And that was dessert. But you know, it was still fun. Now, here's another problem. How much of the money is locked up in formula funding? Here are the formulas. Here's what you have to do. A big chunk of it. So, general revenue, which is the unallocated, unspecified, is what the legislature has to spend. But the reality is that's really not undedicated either. There are certain functions that it has to go for. Fair enough? One thing I did not hit you with. How do most of these licensing agencies, Caroline, can I pick on you? How do most of these licensing agencies fund themselves? Do those licenses come free? And what does the money that's collected for the licenses go to? Supporting the agency. So when we talked about the legislature has, you know, 80 some odd percent of the money locked up, sure, the money's coming in for the Department of Nursing license fees, but it's committed by law to funding the Texas Department of Nursing. So it's an in and out. You really don't have any control over it. So what percentage of the budget does the legislature really have control over? Well, depending on whose figures you use, it's between 10 and 20%. More accurately, it's probably about 5. Fees, federal grants, dedicated revenue, then general revenue, main funding sources. And we talked about this, pay as you go, right, where the comptroller has to approve it before it gets to go into effect. There's limits on welfare spending, which we generally ignore. This thing about limiting the amount of growth to the amount of estimated rate of growth of the economy, and then what general taxes, broad-based taxes that other states levy, does Texas have a constitutional restriction against? Income tax and state property tax. There's only 3 broad-based taxes that states can depend on: income tax, sales tax, and property tax. And we have declared the income tax and the property tax off limits for the legislature. So if we have to raise the taxes, now there is an out. The provision that limits the income tax says if the majority of voters agree to an income tax, you can levy one, but you can only spend it on education. What do you think the chances of the voters of the state of Texas approving an income tax will be?
Probably really low.
5 years ago, I would have told you probably no chance in hell. But which would you rather do, see a small income tax or have the sales tax go up to 10%?
I'd rather have the small income tax. Yeah.
Is the tax structure of Texas regressive or progressive? Do you understand the term?
Yes.
Progressive, it hits the people with higher incomes.
Mm-hmm.
Regressive hits people with lower incomes.
Mm-hmm.
So which is Texas? Every major study indicates that Texas is about the fourth most regressive state tax structure in the country.
Hmm.
And we just approved by 92% a cut in taxes per homestead exemption, which is regressive. Do you own a house? Do you rent an apartment? Does your family rent an apartment?
Can't believe
it. Do you get any benefit from the homestead exemption? No. Only the people who own houses are going to get any benefit from the homestead exemption. Does that help make the state's system of taxation even more regressive than it was? Yeah. And one of the things legislators have been talking about doing is removing the exemptions from food and medicine. Would that increase? You wouldn't increase the rate of the sales tax, but you would increase the amount of money. But does that make it increasingly more regressive? Yeah. All right, you've seen this. Half of the money from the state of Texas comes from taxes, about a third from federal funds, and the rest of it, kind of a smattering. Education's the biggest expenditure. Excuse me. I'm all choked up. Education's the biggest expenditure. Health and human services, those are the two biggies. After that, and transportation, we're talking chump change, aren't we? How much of the state of Texas, how much of the taxes of the state of Texas are essentially consumption taxes? Sales or consumption?
52.
Let's add it up. 52, 7, 8. These together are what? 11, 15, 16, 16% and 52%. What's 16 and 52?
78.
Almost two-thirds, right? So two out of every three tax dollars the state of Texas collects is a sales tax. That's one reason we're so regressive. Motor fuel, this we have this very expensive. Anybody bought a new car? The taxes on a new car will stop your heart. Education. All right. Last thing we talked about was the state of Texas. Now, if we were really practicing truly conservative government, would the state of Texas be carrying any general obligation bond debt? Well, maybe, maybe not. If you've got a dedicated source of revenue to pay it off, it makes sense to borrow the money. If, however, you don't have a dedicated source of revenue, excuse me, it gets questionable. A little over one-third of the state's general obligation bond, this means the income, the state's income is dedicated to pay it off, are the criminal justice bonds for which there is no dedicated source of revenue. The other thing that's not on that chart is the highway, and we've discussed that. And that dog is going to come home to hunt. You've been very good.